Ah, yes. Big hour. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Stephen A. Smith, we love him. He's a member of our family. He has a new outlet. Stephen A. Smith debuts the Stephen A.'s World on January 11th. So that was a couple of days ago, exclusively on ESPN+. He's going to get the best guest.
Great interview with Jamie Foxx on episode one.
Yeah, and Jamie Foxx did a pretty good Stephen A. impersonation. Not as good as yours, Peter. But
I don't think so.
Let's bring in Stephen A. right now. Stephen, Michael, Don, and Peter, how you doing?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. You tell me, though, Stephen, how did the Nets do in that deal? What's your take on that deal?
Well, first of all, you can't say they did bad. They have James Harden, one of the greatest scorers in the history of basketball, in the deal. And a lot of times when you're talking to NBA aficionados, what they will tell you is whoever got the best player got the better deal. And so they say that's James Harden. I say fine, because I think that they did. The flip side to it, however, is that with that comes great responsibility and great expectations. And in light of the fact that you got James Harden without Kyrie Irving, there is still no excuse for this team not to get to the finals. With Kyrie Irving, you obviously got an even better chance at a championship, assuming he's got his head on straight, which is obviously a huge, huge assumption at this particular moment in time. No matter what way you slice it, because of James Harden and Kevin Durant together with KD just 8 games in off of an Achilles tear more than 18 months ago, and having only played 8 games and averaging 29 on 54% shooting from the field, which is just sensational, there's really, when you look at the Eastern Conference, there is no excuse for the Brooklyn Nets not to be playing in the NBA Finals come July.
Now, if Kyrie were playing this whole time, Stephen, is this deal made?
I think it was. I think it would have been, but Philadelphia would have had a better shot, because I think if Kyrie Irving were playing the whole time and they were successful, they might not have been willing to mortgage the farm the way that they did in order to get James Harden. But with Kyrie Irving being as erratic as he has been, being as irresponsible as he has been, the bottom line is you're the Nets. You're thinking about the future, not just this season and next season with KD under contract, but you certainly don't want him to go anywhere. And what you were going to have to do is go after Harden, because I was on the phone with people in Philly yesterday, and they were trying to get this deal to happen for themselves. They were willing to give Ben Simmons up along with one of their other younger players and maybe a draft pick or two. So if James Harden, in all likelihood, with Brooklyn and Philly being his choices, had he not ended up in Brooklyn, he would have ended up in Philly. And being in Philly with Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and some of the young kids that they got on their squad, I think Philadelphia would have been a prohibitive favorite. That would not have pleased Kevin Durant. That definitely would have ruffled feathers to some degree. And who knows what kind of attitude he might have had over that, since he made it clear he wanted James Harden. I think that's why Sean Marks had to pull the trigger and pretty much mortgage the farm in order to do it, a la what they did years ago when they acquired KG and Paul Pierce and gave away all of those picks to get those guys. This is more of the same, except that Durant and Harden should be able to deliver a conference finals.
Talking to our friend Stephen A. Smith here on the Michael K. Show. So I agree. For this deal to work, they have to win a title. But we had on Jeff Van Gundy yesterday after the deal went down, and Stephen, I asked him, are they better than Toronto? And he said no. Are they better than Milwaukee? He said no. Are they better than the Sixers? He said no. Are they better than the Celtics? He said, yeah, probably. And he said they're not better than the Lakers. He's concerned about defense and rebounding. So they have 3 great scorers, but are there cracks on this team that would stop them from winning a title?
Well, first of all, they're soft defensively. We all know that. Secondly, Kyrie Irving is so erratic that he can end up spoiling everything. Or he could be as mercurial and sensational as he's capable of being all rolled up into one and propel them to a championship round. I don't believe they're a failure if they don't win a championship this year, because I believe if they lose, they would lose to the Lakers. And there's no shame in losing to LeBron James. and Anthony Davis. The combination of those two individuals, there's absolutely no shame in losing to them. But you better not lose to anybody else. When you look at Milwaukee, is Jrue Holiday, the addition of Jrue Holiday, supposed to be that big of a difference for Milwaukee to be propelled to an NBA Finals? I say not. When you look at Philadelphia, Ben Simmons still doesn't shoot. I understand you got Seth Curry, who's averaging 17 a game. You got this kid Maxey out of Kentucky, who they're very, very high on. Tobias Harris is averaging 19 a game and shooting better than 50% from the field. He's been very impressive, even though we don't expect those lofty numbers to last. Then Joel Embiid is playing like an MVP candidate, 26 and 16 and 4 the other night in the overtime win against Miami. But they had lost three straight prior to that. They had struggled themselves. And so when I look at Brooklyn, I say to myself, now, I respectfully disagree with Jeff Van Gundy. I do believe when you talk about whether they're better or worse, that might be at this moment. But by regular season's end, should they and would they be better than all the teams I mentioned? Yes. And I'm not talking about record. I'm talking about looking at them and saying, okay, they're going to win the chip because we all know Milwaukee had the best record. Then they went to bed in the postseason. I expect more of the same when they go up against Brooklyn because Giannis is just learning how to shoot. Kevin Durant is a professional shooter. He's a sniper, and he's elite. And we all know what Harden brings to the fold offensively. There is no excuse for the Brooklyn Nets to be watching somebody else come out of the Eastern Conference this year,
Now, if things continue to be crazy with Kyrie, is he even a tradable piece anymore? Or at this point, would nobody risk it?
Not according to the executives and the owners that I spoke to, which since yesterday afternoon, counting to about an hour ago, has totaled seven. Owners and executives, they said they did not say they would not touch Kyrie Irving with a 10-foot pole. They said they wouldn't touch him with a 50-foot pole. They are petrified of him because of his temperament and how extreme it gets. And here's what I mean by that. James Harden, regardless of what anybody wants to, how anybody wants to malign him, he pulled a T.O. Essentially, he desperately wanted to get out of Houston, but because he was under contract, he knew the only thing that could make them expedite the process as opposed to being a bit lackadaisical was to be a distraction. And since they were taking their time, he went up on that post-game press conference podium and called out his teammates because he knew it would alienate him from the team. Why did he do that? Because he went to Tillman Fertitta and Raphael Stone, the new GM that replaced Daryl Morey. He went to them weeks ago, and he says, I don't want to be here. Can you let me stay home until you're able to pull off a trade for me? Tillman Fertitta said, no, we're paying you $40 million. Get your behind out there and work and play. And so as a result, he didn't want to do that, and that's why you saw over the last five games him put up those paltry numbers. But everyone is aware of how transparent it was that James Harden wasn't James Harden. He came in the camp he came into the season out of shape, didn't show up for preseason games, didn't show up for training camp, because he knew that if he had done all of those things and been completely professional and everything, they would have taken their time in the hopes that procrastination would have changed his mind and he would have elected to stay, and he wasn't having it. That is not the case with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving wanted to be in Brooklyn with KD. KD is there, he is there. Kyrie wanted his money. He got 4 years, $141 million, $33.4 million this year, $35.6 million next year, a player's option that pays him over $36 million in 2 years. He got his money, he got the location, he got the individual that he wanted. He even played a part in picking the damn coach, which was Steve Nash. And still, he departs. He says it's for personal reasons. Doesn't articulate and specify what those personal reasons were. A few days pass by before people could even catch him and reach him. And last time we checked, he's completely healthy. Right shoulders right, knees right, legs right, ankles right. He was averaging 26 a game on nearly 50% shooting. And somehow, some way, because of whatever's inside of his head, he decides, I'm not playing. I need time off. I want to focus on something different than basketball, which is why I said he should retire. Leave. Forfeit your money until you're ready to play basketball and prioritize basketball. I said it yesterday. I said it today. I'm saying it now. And I'll say it until he changes his behavior. because I mean every damn word I just said.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, how culpable are the Nets in this? Could this just be a case of Kyrie going off the rails and the Nets are allowing it to happen? And he's just taking advantage of a situation that's being presented to him.
Well, they're definitely complicit, but you have to understand why. That's where Kevin Durant comes in. Because if there's one, this is Kevin Durant's franchise. I don't care about Harden being here, Kyrie being here. This is Kevin Durant's franchise. And if Kevin Durant speaks up, and he speaks in defense of Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets have a problem because they will do anything for Kevin Durant. They want to make sure Kevin Durant is all right with everything. Kevin Durant is the kind of guy that's not going to speak against Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant loves him. That's his little brother. He's got a lot of love and respect for him, and he's not going to speak against him. So because that's not going to happen, if you're Sean Marks, you gotta be mindful of that. You might want to say something about Kyrie Irving, but you don't want to alienate Kevin Durant. And you certainly don't want to alienate any future individuals that might want to come on this franchise. And so as a result, you have to be mindful of that. If this were Pat Riley, we know what would happen. If this was somebody like that, if this was Greg Popovich, we know that wouldn't be tolerated. But Sean Marks don't have that kind of cachet. And because that's the reality of the situation, they have to guard everything they say and do with Kyrie Irving. Of course they're disgusted. But the flip side is that they are in love with Kevin Durant as well as they should be. And you certainly don't want to do anything that will ruffle his feathers. And maligning his boy might do that. So it's not really on the Brooklyn Nets. It's on Kevin Durant to hold Kyrie accountable from the standpoint of, I'm your boy. You wanted to be here with me. I need you on the court with me, bro. Where are you? Kevin Durant's got to be the one to do that, and I'm not even sure that would be enough to reach Kyrie because Kyrie is one of those people. He's going to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, until he's compelled to do otherwise. And what will compel him to do otherwise, I have no idea.
It's interesting, though, because the other day, Kyrie's out, and Kevin Durant, who's coming back from a very serious injury, he has to carry the team against the Nuggets, and he does a great job, but they're supposed to be together. And I know that he has an allegiance to Kyrie. That's why he's here. But can he talk to Kyrie on his own and go, dude, what are you doing? And another question I have for you, are the Nets paying him? Because they shouldn't be paying him a dime.
Well, no, he's not going to be getting paid at this particular moment in time. I sincerely doubt it. I haven't double-checked that, Michael K., but I sincerely doubt that they are paying him at this moment in time. But remember, when Kyrie Irving said that he wouldn't talk to the media, he was going to incur fines all season, and it was going to total a grand total of $1.8 million. Now, obviously, his game checks are significantly more because he's in the midst of a $33.4 million contract. And Kyrie Irving has shown a willingness in the past, for very good reasons, I might add, in terms of his charitable tendencies and his philanthropy, he has shown a willingness to surrender significant dough for causes and issues that he strongly believes in, which in some cases we should all appreciate. His heart's in the right place in terms of people he wants to help and things that he wants to do. But there is no question, there is a level of selfishness, there is a level of undiscipline, and there is a level of bushiness where his priorities and what matters to him supersedes the interest of everybody else that comes raking through the situation. And that's what's going on right now. And I personally believe whether it's privately, which is most likely, or publicly, which is highly unlikely, the only person who can set him straight is Kevin Durant. I don't believe Kyrie Irving will listen to anybody else.
Wow. I mean, it's absolutely stunning to me. And the thing that's most curious, and we've talked about it the last couple of days, Stephen, if he's sitting out because there's something bothering him and there's a cause that's more important, why wouldn't he articulate it and bring it attention? instead of just not saying anything.
Those are the kind of things that I've been saying for the last couple of days. And it's there's really no way around it as far as I'm concerned. You can't defend it, man. You really, really can't. And I'll tell you something right now. I had a couple of executives say this to me yesterday, and one very popular agent. And they said this to me off the record, but one of them texted to me, and I read this on the airwaves on First Take. They were talking about Kyrie, and they said it's inexplicable and really sad. He might be close to ending his career because dealing with him is too risky. The consensus is he cannot be trusted. I'm reading you a text here. He cannot be trusted. Nobody's bigger than the game. The train will head to the next station. They will have grounds to terminate his contract if he keeps this up, period. That's what was texted to me yesterday that I read on First Take. So this is a serious matter because, remember, he violated league safety protocols when he was seen at a gathering with family, loved ones, friends, whomever, dancing and partying. Okay, now he didn't come back around the team, but he was still spotted doing that. So as a result, it's no longer up to the Brooklyn Nets when he comes back. It's up to the NBA to determine where he comes back. The flip side to that is that you have to at least question. We don't know this, but you have to at least question whether or not he did that on purpose. Kyrie is not dumb. He's not dumb. No, regardless of his comments about the world is flat, he's not dumb, okay? He's smart. He knows what he's doing. And you know that if you get seen on a video in a gathering, that automatically is going to prohibit you from being around the team, which means you won't be allowed to play. There are some people who have speculated he's done that on purpose. And so you know this. Your Kevin Durant, your teammate, and your boy, who is averaging 29 and flat-out balling like an MVP candidate in his first game back from injury. You have a rookie coach in Steve Nash that has never coached on any level. You have a GM in Sean Marks, who clearly doesn't have that level of cachet to really muscle you in the right direction. And what did you do? You seem to be taking advantage of it. So what was their recourse? Go out there and get a safety blanket for KD and James Harden, because the two of them together might be more lethal than KD was supposed to be with Kyrie. If Kyrie comes to play, fine. But if he doesn't and he ends up doing something stupid that leads us to void his contract, which we don't believe he will do because he is a vice president of Players Association, for crying out loud, it would be very difficult for them to pull that off, and it would be stupid of him to put himself in a deeper position for them to pull that off. But if you're the Nets, knowing that, the only thing you could ensure is to get Harden, because you got that security blanket for KD, and it might be the thing that nudges Kyrie back to the court so he can get back on the basketball court and do the kind of things that he's doing. But it's an absolute mess. It's absolutely positively been created by him, and it's not going anywhere in the near future because these issues that are near and dear to his heart, and we appreciate it to some degree because a lot of them are social justice issues. The flip side to it, you're supposed to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. You're supposed to be able to play basketball and still address these issues when you're not playing basketball. He seems disinterested in doing so, and as a result, it's really ruffled their feathers because they're looking at him, and even if they're fine without him, they're saying, what kind of example does this set to let him get away with it? Players are asking that question. The Brooklyn Nets are asking that question. The NBA League office is asking that question. And as a result, numerous owners have said they would not touch him with, quote, a 50-foot pole. That is the situation that is going on with Kyrie Irving right now, and I don't know where that leads everything going forward.
Well, great stuff on this topic, which has been dominating our show. But before we leave, I want you to know, and I think you know this anyway, the influence you have on people. So I don't exactly know what you said on Ebro in the morning, but I guess you cast aspersions on Peter's sloppy dress. And since you were on the show, okay, I'm telling you, Stephen A., since you were on the show, the 4 days in a row, he has had an expensive suit on looking like he's going to do a Vogue shoot. That's how much you moved him, my friend.
Well, I think it's important. I mean, I want to applaud him. I want to congratulate him. I want to thank him. As you well know, because you work with him every day, you and Don Juan, you know what? Peter is a great guy. He's great at what he does. He does a great job for you guys, does a great job in the morning with Ebro and the crew. He's incredibly talented and has a very, very bright future, but presentation matters. Now, for those that don't know, there was once an individual that had that problem. His name was Don LaGreca. But what happened was is that I approached Don LaGreca, and I went on the airwaves, and I said, you are Don Juan. I want the hair slicked back. I want the goatee tight. You're a smooth-looking brother from another mother. But you have gotten a bit lackadaisical because Don Juan got married, has an absolutely wonderful wife who loves him and is devoted to him and what have you, and he got lackadaisical. He said, I made it. I'm good. Right. I don't have to do these things.
It's true.
Said, yes, you do. You have to do it for yourself. You have to do it for her. And ever since then, the hair slicked back. You catch Don Juan on the right day. He got on the right shades. He got the cigar working. He looks ultra cool. And I said to Peter, how in God's name can Michael K be Michael K? Don become Don Juan, and you walk around just looking like, whatever. You can't do that. And so I'm glad and proud that Peter has listened to me. Mm-hmm. And that he has allowed my influence to touch him in the right way. And now I think sky's the limit for Peter Rosenberg. He's a star in the run.
Yeah.
Wow.
You remember those pictures of me back in the day, Peter, that you always comment on? That was Stephen A's speech.
Stephen, I've seen the pictures of Don from that era. Thank God you were a real enough friend to pull him aside.
I just want to tell you one quick thing. I wish you were around for Peter sooner, because Peter was on CNN a couple of years ago talking about a serious subject. He went there with his hat on backwards.
Right. Like he was an extra from the Sandlot movie.
Oh, look.
I mean, you can't do that to Wolf Blitzer.
You're asking people not to take you seriously when you do that. Like if you want notes, if you want lessons, I could write them for you, but it's not necessary. Because if you go to Stephen A's World, on ESPN Plus this week, it debuted this week. Michael K., check out my suit game.
Oh.
Monday, Tuesday, tonight, 5:30. Check it out. Check out the suit game. It's levels to this. And so, I mean, it's nice that Peter has finally come on board. Don Juan came on board. And look at what he's done. Don Juan's a star. And Peter, you're a star.
But you got to look it.
All right. It's important.
Take this seriously.
Good luck with the new show, Stephen A.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all as always. Take it easy.
That's why you got to love Stephen, because we made fun of Peter and it didn't work. Stephen, he articulated it in just the right way.
That's right.
Spitting facts. He spoke the truth.
It had an impact on me. It did. Had a real impact. I'm sorry. Bear's going insane, guys.
Some of them hanging on the wall at the old studio where Peter's like, what were you doing, Don? What's the matter with you? And Steven straightened that out.
All true.
Somewhere like around 2008, 9, straightened it all out.
Let's take a brief time out because we have a lot to digest. Woo! That was some segment. We'll hear from you, 1-800-919-3776. The K-Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Michael K., Don LaGreca, the well-dressed Peter Rosenberg, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.